This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. You might remember when the Sacramento Zoo was given the green light to reopen June 1st, and then the reopening was rescinded. So here's Dr. Peter Bielenson, the Sacramento County Director of Public Health Services, when I asked him on May 20th about the go-ahead being pulled back by the county.
By me, actually. It was a misconstruing of the state's guidance. There was some contradictory guidance from the state. So, for example, they allowed outdoor museums, outdoor activities with modifications, and outdoor galleries. And I had presumed that that would include the zoos. In fact, all I could think of was zoos and the statuary at the Crocker. So I went ahead and gave them the go-ahead. And then it turned out in another piece that the state put out that they did not allow it in galleries and zoos. So it was contradictory evidence, but I had to back down. And so I apologize to the zoo for that. Hopefully they'll be able to move forward in the third phase in the near future.
I think it's so interesting to hear it reconstructed. The near future is today. So if you've been missing the zoo or you just need one more outdoor field trip just to get out of the house right now, here's your uplift. The zoo's executive director, Jason Jacobs, and the zoo's veterinarian, Dr. Janessa Jeltema, are both on the phone. Hi, Jason. Hi, Dr. Jeltema.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Glad to have you both here. So Dr. Bielenson just explained the county's side of the start and stop. Is anything different, Jason, on your side of the operations from when you initially had the green light?
You know, the only difference is initially we thought masks would be required. They're not required. They're strongly recommended. And I can tell you the majority of our guests are wearing the mask. We have graphics posted on the outside. We have it on our website. But other than that, we haven't changed the plan because we want to remain safe. Dr. Bielenson has been great to work with throughout this whole process. And we want to make sure we have a safe experience for our guests.
So you've had some trial runs over the weekend. How's it going?
It's going wonderful. You know, we are limiting capacity to 1,500 people a day, and we are requiring folks to register online ahead of time, buy their tickets, so we know when folks are coming and we can limit. And people are very, very happy to come back and see these animals. We've added some great new additions like the alligators, the ostrich, and they're here to see old favorites like the lions, giraffes, and chimpanzees.
Is there a time stamp also on the ticket or a time frame in which it has to be used?
Yes, there is a time frame. We have, you select the time you want to come to the zoo, and you have to come at that time. And thus far, it's worked out really well. And look, this is a fluid situation, obviously, over the past several months. So we're going to look at it. And if things don't start to work well, we'll obviously communicate with county officials. But as of right now, things are working really well. People are observing the times. They're utilizing the and creating a good experience here at the zoo.
Dr. Jeltema, this has been an interesting time for the animals. They've had a couple quiet months with no people around. How has that been different? What are the pluses and minuses?
Yeah, so, you know, with any kind of change, it kind of throws off the routine just a little bit. So I think some of the animals were definitely missing guests when we had to close, you know, earlier. And now they're readjusting to seeing our guests again. And some of them get very excited about, you know, kind of seeing the faces come by. So it's wonderful to see them getting that component of enrichment in their lives again.
The last time we talked with you, we were discussing that human-to-tiger transmission at the Bronx Zoo. We also talked about the very few human-to-cat and dog cases that have popped up. To what degree do you think animals are at risk in a zoo setting?
So, you know, similarly to where we were, you know, the last time we spoke, we are still learning a lot about which animals may be susceptible. Obviously, we know a little bit more now as some of the research is coming out. And we have definitely zoos across the country, including ourselves, you know, the Sacramento Zoo, have implemented a lot of protective measures for the animals that we think might be susceptible. But ultimately, we don't know a lot yet, and until we get more information, it's hard to predict which ones could be potentially susceptible, and so we are using precautions for any of the animals that we think it could be a concern for.
And have there been any animals in that category? Any respiratory concerns? Any questions? Has there been any testing?
So as far as at the Sacramento Zoo, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
So we did have one case of an animal that did present with some respiratory distress, and it was an unusual presentation. So we actually elected to test that animal, and we also took precautions as if it could have had coronavirus. It ended up being negative in all of its testing samples, but we continue to be very vigilant, and we are very careful about, how we're interpreting animals that may have an unusual presentation of respiratory disease in our medical management of them.
So back to you, Jason. Any exposure would likely happen through human interaction, correct? So it's really the humans and their health that's most crucial here.
Well, it is, and I got to tell you, if with any health questions, I always defer to Dr. Geltimo. We're so fortunate to have UC Davis veterinarians as our vets, but that's why we've taken the steps at the zoo right now. We have a modified operation where we don't have giraffe feedings. If you go to one of our monkey exhibits, we have a plexiglass panel up above the mesh to alleviate any type of interaction that these monkeys can beg for food sometimes. So we don't want people interacting with them. And really, the majority of our animals at the zoo are behind barriers, moats, glass, mesh, far enough away where they're not interacting with our guests. Don't have a regular amphitheater show going on right now. We don't have our interpretive center animals going out on grounds to meet guests. So those are some of the steps we're taking based on the recommendations of our veterinarians and our animal care professionals to mitigate any concern between transmission between humans and animals.
So I take it the staff has been COVID-free then. Is that true, Jason?
Thus far, yes.
Okay, and Dr. Geltimo, what about the animals that have come in? Their new ostriches, alligators, there's a new female giraffe. What about all the safety precautions or quarantining that was necessary? I know some of that is normal anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, so we take very proactive approach when we're bringing in any kind of new animal. And so they usually undergo a variety of tests even before they leave, whatever institution they came from. And then depending on what that testing looks like and their medical history, we will tailor make a plan for making sure that they don't get integrated into our collection without additional testing, screening, and even a period where they're separated from our collection before they get integrated, just to make sure we're not moving any kind of communicable disease into our collection animals. And so screening is definitely an important part of the preventive health program we have at the zoo.
Jason, one last question. What about all those fun events that are planned on your property, the weddings, the parties, the summer camps? Are they all on hold right now?
Yes, they're all on hold, unfortunately. Okay. We're really focusing on just people coming out and visiting the zoo. The state guidelines still say no special events, especially for zoos. No special events, no parties or those type of things. So they're on hold for now, and we'll be working with the state and the county as they update guidelines so we can change the zoo experience when that time comes. But for right now, they're on hold.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you go, but what do you think about people coming back to the zoo? Dr. Geltimo, how's it look to you?
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to continue our mission, and we're doing it in a way that's safe for our animal collection, and we're trying to make it as safe and back to normal as we possibly can.
Right. What is normal? Jason, what about you with people coming to visit the zoo again?
I echo her response. It is wonderful. And we are the most attended venue in Sacramento by far. People love this zoo. They love the animals, and we're excited to be open. Check out our website for all the guidelines. We want to keep it safe, but we're just happy to reopen and greeting guests again. And thank you for your time this morning, you know, to help tell this story.
Jason Jacobs is executive director at the Sacramento Zoo. Thank you, Jason. We'll remind everybody to call ahead or reserve a ticket online. Appreciate your time today. And Dr. Janessa Jeltema is veterinarian at the zoo with the UC Davis Veterinary School. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. There's been a lot of news. You can continue to track it at capradio.org. We are back at noon to host statewide coverage of the press briefing from Governor Newsom. So in the meantime, take care. Thanks for joining us.